Amen. Amen. Worship team, for leading us in worship today, we appreciate you sharing your gifts and talents and abilities and willingness to do that. Well, this week we're continuing in our speaking time together in a series about discipleship, about following Jesus, what that means, actually asking the question, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Now, Steve began to, okay, well, the question's been answered and you can go home. So I heard that, yeah, thank you, thank you. You guys, it's a spoiler, it's a spoiler. Steve began to address that question last Sunday when he spoke, and one of the things he touched on, he suggested to us that in asking the question whether it's worth it, he suggested to us, I think that there was a cost. There was a cost. It actually costs something to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. And today I'd like to take my time with you to look a little further at just what that means, what that cost might be. What does that look like? You've all probably seen advertising, wherever it might be, promising low prices and amazing deals on all kinds of products, right? You've all seen it, you know, whether it's a Slap Chop or whether it's something else, whatever it might be on TV, you've seen a product and advertising, advertising a really, really great deal, cheap deal. The thing is, you have to look closely because many so-called deals are cheap because there may be hidden costs, costs you don't even think of. And often the quoted price is noticeably less than we actually end up paying. That's not irritating. Last night on TV, they were selling a super bright LED light bar, $29.99. It listed a whole bunch of great things you could do with it, which, whatever. It listed on a .ca website. So it was Canadian, shipped from Canada, and then in small letters it said U.S. funds. I'm like, you sneaky little guys and girls. So that's a big deal, because instead of being $29.99 Canadian, it's now $38.46 Canadian. Oh, plus there was tax, you add to that. And then shipping. Uh-huh, and then whatever fees, you know, the little fees that they have in there too, are associated with it. And after the ad is over and it's and you think about it, not as great a deal as it initially appeared to be. I was in the post office the other day, and the employee working behind the counter was frustrated because people were coming in, and the employee was quoting prices for sending mail, for shipping stuff, and people were upset. Because when they had called earlier before they came in, the person on the phone gave them a cheaper price. So what's going on? It was because the person on the phone was quoting a price without adding taxes or any service fees. So when they came in and got the real cost, they were upset. As I think about ministry here at Pioneer Park Church, I don't want to be a pastor or a preacher who tells you that it's important to not only accept Jesus into your life, but to become his disciple as well, and not tell you what the Bible says about the cost. If you're going to respond to God's word, the Bible, if you're going to be a Christ follower and respond to Jesus' invitation, his words, I have to tell you this morning, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. But it's important that we hear this and hear this. Salvation that the Bible talks about is completely free. The gift of salvation is completely free. There is nothing we can do or give that will buy it. Jesus has already paid the price for us by dying on the cross, by giving his life, and by rising again. However, the other part of coming to Christ, coming to Jesus, is that in discipleship, it costs us. It will cost us our independence. Being a disciple of Jesus, being a disciple of Christ, following him, will cost us our independence apart from God. It will cost us that. It will cost to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ. It will cost us our will. It will cost us our plans. It will cost us our old lifestyles. It will cost us our old sins and habits. Being a follower of Christ, being a disciple of Christ, may bring even ridicule and contempt from some people. It will cost us our pride. Because when we come to him, we admit that we are sinners. We are lost and unable to save ourselves. That's because the gospel message of the Bible is not a self-help method. It's not for people who think they can sort themselves out. Rather, it's for those who know and admit that they're helpless apart from God, apart from the work of Jesus, and apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham said this: salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. I'd like to take a look at you. I am looking at you. I would like to take a look with you at some things that Jesus had to say about discipleship and the cost. In first of all, Mark chapter 8. Let me read this to you. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, Christ." Down in that chapter a little further, in verses 34 to 38, we read this: "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life," or it also means soul, "will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit or lose their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." In our verses that we're looking at this morning, Jesus confronts us with what it will cost to be his disciple. And from what I've been reading, you might not like this, but it seems to be everything. One more, Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 33. He says this. He says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace." And listen to this: "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Ouch. Now, before you write this discipleship thing off, before you write it off and say, "I'm checking out, not for me," please hang in there with me for a little bit this morning as we look at the cost of what Jesus calls each of us to as his followers and what that really means. The first one we'll consider is what he said in that verse about self-denial. I don't know if you've ever heard this name, but William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army, and he was asked the secret to his good example of a Christian life as a disciple of Jesus. And his answer was, I told the Lord that he could have all that there is of William Booth. He said, God, you can have everything that there is of me. See, the Bible says to be his disciple, to be his follower, I must deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. Like Billy Graham said, it costs everything we have. As a disciple of Jesus, he literally becomes our way of life. He becomes our rule of conduct. And self-denial means we submit everything we are to his control, our pleasures, our interests, our work, our desires. We don't hold back from him and his plan or will. And you know what? Nobody can take that step for you. It's a choice you make of your own free will, one you freely choose to make. I didn't plan on being a pastor. I did not plan on being a pastor. It's not something I desired. It's not something I wanted. It's not something I planned on. I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to be a firefighter. And I did things to move my life in that direction. At another point, I worked at General Motors for a number of years, as did my grandfather and my father. That was a good gig, financially and with the benefits. But none of those things were God's plan for my life and Patty's. It has not been easy by any means. But easy isn't what's promised when we deny ourselves to follow God's plan when he calls us. What's promised to us is God's strength and enabling and blessing, and it's better than anything you can find here in this world. Let's understand what self-denial is not. Let's understand what self-denial is not. Self-denial is not the denial of things. It's not the denial of a career choice. It's not the denial of pleasure and enjoyment. We see many examples of people we may know who are disciples of Jesus, who have things, who we may consider wealthy, if not even moderately so. Those who have chosen a career path and successfully gone that way. Warren Wiersbe, I don't know if you know that name, but he explains it this way. To deny self does not mean to deny things. It means to give yourself wholly or completely to Christ. To take up a cross, which we'll talk about, does not mean to carry burdens or have problems. Wiersbe says that someone told him their asthma was the cross they had to bear. Let me tell you, that is not what this means. This does not mean that. To take up your cross means to be prepared and willing to identify with Christ. Even in things like maybe being rejected or shame, or maybe suffering, and in some cases in our world, to be a follower of Christ means you could risk losing your life, if not your freedom, your life. Self-denial is simply submitting ourselves to Jesus. It doesn't bring us bondage. That's not what it's meant to do. But submitting ourselves, self-denial, submitting ourselves to Jesus, it sets us free to be the best person that he intends for us to be. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. There was another quote I read from a guy named Richard Foster, a famous Quaker, and he said this, in submission, we are free to value other people. Their dreams and plans become important to us. We enter into a new, wonderful, glorious freedom. We can love people unconditionally. We can rejoice with their successes. We feel genuine sorrow at their failures. We discover that it is far better to serve our neighbor than to have our own way, end of quote. So to be a disciple of Jesus, I tell you this morning, will cost us the price of self-denial. As well, to be a disciple of Jesus, we read in those verses, we're called to take up our cross. Isn't that just kind of what you've been waiting for? To be invited to take up your cross. It doesn't sound like a great invitation, but the Bible books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all write of Jesus' words about discipleship, about denying self, taking up our cross, and following him. But here we go. In Luke 9:23, there's a word added there that's important. Then Jesus said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." The disciple of Jesus takes up their cross every day. You see, that means it's a daily committing of ourselves to him. It's a daily committing of ourselves to him, not just, "Yeah, I remember 15, 16 years ago, 2 years ago, I committed myself." It's not just a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's about consciously submitting ourselves to Jesus every day. And if you're still counting the cost this morning, Jesus makes his point even stronger in Luke 14:27. "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." That's intense. That's heavy stuff. Being a disciple of Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, taking up our cross is in part a call to live a sacrificial life. Following in the steps, an example of Jesus, it does not mean you go around moping and grumpy because you can't have any fun or it's just a hard life. It doesn't mean that a disciple looks to suffer or try to suffer. But it does mean that a disciple isn't surprised if and when that comes. And when it does come, they don't pretend not to be connected to Jesus or to be associated with him. Rather, they stand up and they overcome those things through the power of the Holy Spirit. We sang about that this morning. You see, by the power of his Spirit working in us, God's word says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Stories told about a guy named Charlie Moore. If you know anybody by the name of Charlie Moore, it's not them. Stories told about a man named Charlie Moore who moved into a new community with his family. And he wanted to make some friends, and so he joined a local softball team. And in the opening game, Charlie took his family to the park, and he went off to join his team. And Charlie got up to bat, and he set his feet and he squared his shoulders. And as the ball came across the plate, he missed it by a mile. Much like you might have seen yesterday if you watched the Blue Jays game. Sorry. Didn't mean to say that out loud. And the crowd groaned. But one voice could be heard over the ballpark noise. "You can do it, Mr. Moore." The second pitch came, and again he swung wildly and missed. And again the voice could be heard, "You can do it, Mr. Moore." And then the third pitch, he swung again and he struck out. And once again the voice called out, "That's okay, Mr. Moore." And the game was over. The family got into their car, and as they drove down the road, Charlie turned around to his son and said, "Was that you that yelled, 'You can do it, Mr. Moore?'" And when his son finally admitted that it was him, Charlie said he appreciated the encouragement, but he wondered out loud, "Why did you call me Mr. Moore?" Well, his son said, "I didn't want anyone to know I was related to you." You know, sometimes, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, as a disciple, when difficulties come, Or when there's the possibility maybe of being made fun of, or even maybe losing a friend because of our relationship with Jesus, there can be a tendency to be like Charlie's son. We don't really want people to know that we're related to him. You see, carrying our cross means that life for the disciple will not always be easy. We can expect troubles and hard times. The Bible says that. Just before Jesus was betrayed, as we read in the accounts and went to the cross, he said to his disciples at the Last Supper, he said, he'd been telling them a whole bunch of stuff, and he said, I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. And then he said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Take courage. Because I have overcome the world. Self-denial, taking up our cross. And then the third thing is the call to follow. Finally, a disciple of Jesus is called to follow him. And this particular term, follow, in the New Testament is used when speaking about discipleship. And it implies total commitment on the part of the disciple to Jesus as Lord. You see, to follow Jesus means that by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we imitate and follow his leading, that we act according to his example. His life is the pattern for living ours. It doesn't mean we are perfect. It doesn't mean we even come maybe close to living up to what he did. But the Bible tells us that as we do that, as we carry our cross, that more and more we're transformed into the likeness of Christ, into his glory. We become more like him. Jesus' questions in Mark chapter 8 help to clarify what it means to follow him. He says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The answer is it's no good, and there's nothing that we can give. Nothing in our world has lasting value. Only our personal daily relationship with him as our Lord has that. C.S. Lewis said, all human beings pass away. Don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose. If love is to be a blessing, not a misery, it must be for the only one who will never pass away. You see, Jesus' call today is to all of us. It's to every one of you. There's no one here today that Jesus' call is not for, to be his disciples, to be disciples, to be his disciples, to deny ourselves, commit ourselves to him, our pleasures, our decisions, our will, to take up our cross and to follow him. Whoever wants to be my disciple, he said, must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Is it worth it? You won't find anything even close on this planet, or I am sure any other, that gives more for the cost, both now and for eternity, than following Jesus as his disciple. As someone famous once said, to be or not to be, I guess that's the question today. Let's pray. Father, you have called us. That's not even where we start. You loved us. You love us. You gave your life for us. You gave everything for us, that we might have a relationship with you, that we might come to the place in our lives where we decide we want to follow you and be your disciple. I don't pretend this morning standing here that it's easy. In our own strength, it can't be done. But because of you, because of your strength in us, Holy Spirit, because you dwell in the Christian's heart, you dwell in our hearts when we invite you in. You give us strength and ability and desire to do that. Lord, some of us struggle with issues of cost. And we talk about that in so many different aspects of our lives. But God, it's worth it. It's worth it. There's nothing that we can gain better for the cost than knowing you, than being your follower, than being your disciple. And Father, I pray this morning for those who may be thinking about this, maybe for the first time, maybe have been struggling with this. I thank you for those who have made that decision to follow you as a disciple of yours and have continued to do that in strong and Holy Spirit-enabled ways through their lives. But for each one of us, Lord, I just pray that you would meet us where we are. And if we need to come to you this morning and just ask you to forgive us our sins and to come into our lives, then, Lord, I pray that we would do that this morning. And Lord, maybe if we need your help to continue this morning, maybe we're in that place where it's a little tough right now, Lord. I pray you would give us your peace, that you would enable us, that you would strengthen us. And Father, that in all things, whether it's in denying ourselves, whether it's taking up our cross, whether it's following you, that we would be able to bring honor and glory to your name, to the name of Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it and thank you. Amen.